Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
John chapter number 4. I want to read some familiar verses to you. John chapter number 4 is a dynamic chapter. There is so much going on in John chapter number 4. And we see Jesus as a soul winner in John chapter number 4. Matter of fact, that is exactly what I intended on preaching on tonight, was Jesus as the soul winner. And we see that here in chapter number 4. He goes to an unusual place, to an unusual person. And this Samaritan woman, there was a harlot, gets saved by the grace of God, and God changes her life. Amen. But I want you to stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God, and I want to pick up in verse number 14. Of course, Jesus has already encountered her, and he had this constraining from within in verse number 4 to go through Samaria. And the reason he did that is because God knew there was a lady over there that needed to get saved by the grace of God, and God does that. And we'll pick up in verse number 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour, or woman, believe me, when ye shall neither, or go back to verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. He said, you don't even know what you worship. And I tell you something, there's a lot of people in this world today that's in the same boat. They don't have a clue what they worship. Man, we could talk about that Islam faith right there. They don't have a clue what they worship. But look what Jesus said. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Verse 28 says this, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39 says this, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. Verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word. Now, Father, I pray that you help us tonight. I pray that your will and way be done. God, I pray that you'd breathe on us tonight and preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, may we see you high and mighty, lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach to you just a little while tonight on the subject of worship. The subject of worship tonight. I want to say something to you tonight. We serve a God that is worthy of our worship tonight. tonight. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our adoration. He is worthy tonight of the worship that we offer to Him. Whenever we study that word worship out in the Bible, we'll find that it is first mentioned in the book of Genesis. And Abraham, it's taken Isaac apart on the mountain. He's going to sacrifice him. He's going to kill him. He's going to fillet him off the bone. He's going to burn his flesh. And he's trusting that God will bring him back. And here's what he said to the servants at the bottom of the mountain. He said, I and the lad are going yonder to worship and we'll come again. That worship right there, it's the first time that it's mentioned. Matter of fact, in the Word of God, 102 times we hear the word worship. We're living in a day and age today where we're not worshiping God like we once worshiped Him. Most people today are living on Complain Avenue when we ought to be on Hallelujah Boulevard. Let's take time and inventory of the blessings of God tonight. Time would not permit us, and paper could not contain all that God has done for us just this year. We serve a God that's good tonight. We serve a God that's glorious tonight. We serve a God that's worthy of every bit of praise and adoration we could give to Him. We could sit around and complain. We can sit around and bellyache. But just time out a minute tonight. How many remembers where they used to be and the life that they used to live? How many remembers a time that God in His mercy and God in His grace come to where you was at in a sin-sick state and drawed you out of that and saved your hell-deserving soul? Can I say something tonight? If we have nothing else to praise God for, we can praise Him because we're not going to hell tonight. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm thankful tonight that not one hair upon my head will ever see the flames of hell. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, and I know what I worship. Said you don't even know what you worship. There's a lot of people showed up at a so-called church today and done something and they thought was worship, and they don't even know what they worship. Hear me and hear me well. I know what I worship tonight. You say, how do you know it? Because there was a day, July the 20th, 1994, that I got introduced to Him. Amen. There was a day that I got saved. There was a day I got saved by the grace of God. And I know what I worship tonight. And we're way behind on this worship. We go to church today, and if somebody hollers amen too loud, we look around to try to figure out who it was. Instead of looking around and try to figure out who it was, you ought to join in and help them. Yeah, man. I've said this many times. Harry Hensley said this. Harry Hensley Sr. said this years ago when I was just a boy. He said there's three things that everybody ought to do before they die. He said, number one, they ought to get saved by the grace of God. I say amen to that. He said, number two, they ought to sell out to serve God, lock, stock, and barrel. I said, amen to that. He said, number three, they need to have an old-time Holy Ghost shouting fit. I said, amen to that. You say, preacher, well, I just don't know about this, and I just don't worship like you worship. Well, how do you worship? Yeah, everybody all right tonight? How do you worship? Can I tell you something? When you read the Word of God and you read about heaven tonight, can I tell you what they're doing at the throne of God? They're not sitting there with their arms crossed, twiddling their thumbs. They're not sitting there going, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. No, but the Bible tells me tonight that they're flying around the throne of God, and with a loud voice they're saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was, which is and which is to come. They're worshiping him tonight. You want me to tell you what the central theme of heaven is tonight? It's worshiping the creator of all the world. And hear me tonight. If those beasts flying around the throne of God can worship, how much more should we worship? They know nothing about grace. They know nothing about salvation. They know nothing about seeing God meet their needs. Oh, but is there anybody else here tonight that remembers the night that you had a need and God met that need of salvation? But beyond that, how many is here tonight that remembers there was a time in your life that you needed God to supply need and you went before Him in supplication and you begged God to do what nobody else could do and you seen God do that? Can I tell you something tonight? We ought to raise our hand and say, blessed be the name of the Almighty God tonight. It's Him and Him alone that done it. He said, we ought to worship tonight. Here's something that I seen in this. You've heard the first three, but I'm going to give you a couple more that I wrote down a while ago. Can I say this? It's a sought out worship. It is a sought out worship. What did the Bible say in verse 23? But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, what? Seeketh such to worship Him. He's looking for somebody to worship Him. Amen. You know what the Father's doing tonight? He's looking over the balcony of heaven in Amazing Grace Baptist Church, and He's seeking somebody that'll worship Him. Amen. Amen. He's looking for that. He's seeking that. It is a sought out worship. Miss Leslie will cook supper at the house. We'll get done eating and Brother Scotty, she'll go, anybody enjoy it? Well, I mean, I still got my mouth full. She don't give us time to say thank you. Anybody enjoy it? And I'll say, yeah. Girl will say, yes, ma'am. And she'll say this, every once in a while, it's just nice to hear somebody say thank you. So you know what? The other night, I grilled out. Anybody enjoy it? I peeled taters. I cooked tater. Am I telling the truth, Miss Leslie? I'm talking about filet mignon. Somebody holler, amen. I'm talking about center cut pork chops marinated in A1 Chicago steakhouse blend. Somebody say, praise God. I'm talking about red skin taters cut up and boiled and then thrown in there with a bunch of cheese and salt and pepper and mashed up. A little bit lumpy with the skin still on them. Somebody say, surely got a Honda on that one, praise God. You know what they said? Thanks, Dad, for fixing supper tonight. You know what Miss Leslie was doing? And you know what Brother Jonathan was doing when he said, does anybody appreciate? He was seeking gratitude. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells us tonight that he is seeking gratitude. When he comes by your house, does he find anybody worshiping? Everybody all right tonight? When he comes past your seat, does he find anybody worshiping? Number one, it's a sought out worship. Number two, I'd say this. Watch this in verse number 24. Matter of fact, look back in verse 23. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. Watch this next word. In spirit, that's a small S. And in truth, look in verse 24. God is a spirit, that's capital S. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, small S, and truth. That big ass spirit right there is the Holy Ghost. Yeah, man, y'all understand that word. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. It's part of the Godhead. A lot of times we'll say it's a third person of the Godhead, and it makes it sound like it's somebody not as important. No, it's part of the Godhead. It's God. Amen. And you know what he says? Here's what he says. He says he's seeking a spirited worship. Amen. A spirited worship. You know what you are made? Here's what we say so many times. Well, preacher, if I raise my hand and say amen, if I say praise God, hallelujah, amen, somebody is going to say I'm emotional. Well, guess what? You are. You are emotional. Amen. Every once in a while, Brother Kevin, Miss Nicole's emotional, isn't she? He just grunted. Every once in a while, Brother Josh, your precious little sweet darling wife is emotional, isn't she? Amen. Brother Jim, Miss Vicky, every once in a while gets a little bit emotional, don't she? And you know what? When Brother Jim was coaching that ball team, he'd get a lot emotional, wouldn't he? We're made up of emotions. Amen. I know women's worse than men, but we've got them too. And some woman, who, what woman hollered amen right there? It had to be Josh's precious, sweet little darling wife. We got them too. You say, I don't have no emotions. Let me kick you in the shin. I remember Mater walked up behind me one time and goosed me. And whenever he did, I kicked backwards. That donkey kicked him. I had a pair of dress shoes on that had a hard sole on them, right in the shin and peeled the skin up, Brother Brian. Son, he squalled and he hollered. Let me tell you the reason why. He's emotional. Amen. You ever walked around behind the truck and somebody left a Reese itch in? And you caught your shin? And you didn't say, thank you, Jesus. Your mind might have been like Peter's was at one time. Y'all will get that after a while. Things went through your mind that probably didn't need to go through your mind. Somebody say amen right there. Why? Because you're emotional. You say, I'm not emotional. Well, you let your youngin stand at home plate and knock one right to the edge of the fence and take off running towards first. And when he gets to first, they hadn't even gotten to the ball yet. And you know what you gonna do? You gonna stand up and scream to the top of your lungs, run, Johnny, run, run, Johnny, run. Why? Because you're emotional. I remember we went to Fisher River today, Brother Stan, and boy, I had a lot of memories come back through my mind when we was all playing church league softball. I remember that first night, Brother Will, I got up to the plate, and Brother Stan had been working on me, had a hit, and keeping my elbow up. Boy, I got ready that night, and they pitched one right down through there. Son, I cracked it right over top of second base's head. I took off running. If there's one thing I can do, I can run. I'm faster than an alligator in the first 30 feet. I took off running, and whenever I did, I heard people go to screaming, run, preacher, run, run, preacher, run. I got to first base, and they was waving me on to go to second. Boy, I rounded first base, and I got to second, and I was looking, and Brother Stan was waving me on to come to third. I rounded second base, son, and I was letting her rip, Brother Brian, and when I got almost to third, Brother Stan was doing my kiss, and I thought, baby, I've come too far. I've got wound up too much. There ain't no stopping now. And you know what they was doing? Run, preacher, run. And you know what? I looked like Forrest Gump rounding third base, baby. I had the ear. Pinned back on her. I slid into home plate. They called me safe. And I jumped up and screamed and hollered and everybody. Why? Because we emotional. That's what we are. That's what we are. You know what this worship is? It's a spirited worship. That capital S, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit, small s, in truth. Here's what worship is. When the big spirit gets to dealing with the little spirit, and all of a sudden The big spirit and the little spirit gets hooked up together. And you know what it'll make you do? It'll make you say, amen. Praise God. It'll make you wave your hand. It'll make you shed a tear. Why? Because of the Holy Ghost has done begin to move around in your heart. It's a sought out worship. It's a spirited worship. I thought about this. Look what the Bible said. In verse number 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way. I thought about this. It's a sought out worship. It's a spirited worship. But can I say this? It's a solo worship. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for somebody that'd shout in church and won't shout riding up a road by themselves. Amen. You know what I'll do every once in a while? I'll not turn the radio on. I'll not turn something on my phone, some podcast on my phone. Every once in a while, I'll just be riding up the road by myself and not turn nothing on. And I'll just start doing this. Thank you, Lord, for being good to me. I sure do love you, Lord. I remember back during the winter when it was still cold and we was feeding the hay. I remember one morning I got up early and Olivia usually went with me and she didn't go that morning. I went over to the farm, Brother Will, and I got in that old tractor and I started out by the barn there and that sun began to come up. And whenever I seen that sun come up, I just reached up and turned the radio off and silenced my phone for a little bit. And as I was riding up the road, I began to say, thank you, Lord, for being good to me. Thank you, Lord, that I was allowed to see the sunrise today. Thank you, God, for my help. Thank you, God, for my strength. I'm going to tell you what, when I went past Brother Ted and Miss Susan's house and that big old tractor that's two round bells and a big tractor about took everything out over there, you want me to tell you the reason why? The Holy Ghost of God had done crawled up in the cab of that big old tractor with me and done went to blessing my heart and blessing my soul, honey. You go to praising Him. You go to magnifying Him. And He'll show up every time. It was a solo worship. She went her way. I can just imagine that she's going down the road that day. Oh, I just went over there to get a drink of water. And bless God, I got the well. You'll get it in just a minute. I just went over there to get a drink of water and I got the well. I got something that I've never had before. You know what she done? She left her water pot. The very necessity that she had to live, she left it over there by the well. You want me to tell you the reason why? Something that doesn't move in deep down inside her soul. I can just imagine as she walks up the road back to the city that day, her and God having one more of a time. Just magnifying Him. It was a solo worship. But I thought about this. Look in verse number 29. The Bible said this, or verse number 39. Look in verse 39. The Bible said this. Go back to verse 29. I'll get it right in a minute. I just wrote this part down. Look in verse number 29. The Bible said this. In verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men. She didn't go to the women. Let me tell you the reason she didn't go to the women. They'd have slapped her jaws. She's a harlot. They don't want nothing to do with her. That's the reason she is at the well at that time of day by herself. She goes back into the city and goes to those that she knows the best. And here's what she says. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. It's not this the Christ. Can I show you this? It's a sought out worship. It's a spirited worship. It's a solo worship. But can I show you something else tonight? It's a sowing worship. It's a sowing worship. You say, preacher, what do you mean sowing? She began to sow the seed. Oh yeah. You know what she did? She said, hey, come here boys, let me tell you about somebody. And I can just hear the talk inside of the place that day. Well, she's met some other stranger and took advantage of him. But she has a different look on her face. She has a different spring in her step. And she has a different voice that comes out of her mouth. And she said there was a man right down there by the well today. Whenever I got, he was already there. Oh, yeah. Whenever I got down there, and when I got down there, he began to talk to me like no other man had ever talked to me before. He told me everything that I'd ever did. And then he said this, I still love you. Oh, yes, good neighbor. He showed me compassion and changed my life. Matter of fact, boys, they've been talking about that man that's healed the sick and made the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the blind to see. They've been talking about that man that's raising the dead. I've got real good news. I just met him. I just met him right down the road. And if you'll just come with me, just come see a man. Don't worry about me, boys. Just come see him. It was a sowing worship. She began to tell her, and let me tell you what happens when we worship. It tells others about what God has done for us. Oh, yes. It tells you, go to praising God somewhere and see what people does. Well, who are you talking about that's so good? I'm glad you asked me. I'd like to tell you. It was a sowing worship, but watch this. Jesus began sowing the seed to her and produced a crop. She got saved. He produced a harvest out of her. But I wrote this down, Brother Dakota. Her worship produced a second harvest. Look what the Bible said in verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Look in verse number 41. And many more believed because of his own words. It produced a second harvest because of her worship. You see, the day you got saved, there was a harvest that took place in your life. Amen. Somebody sowed the seed to you one day. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody sowed the seed to you one day. And after they sowed the seed, you know what? Somebody else came by and watered it. And God got the increase, and you got saved by the grace of God. And now that you're saved, when we worship him, it will produce a second harvest. Not in us. We've got eternal life. But it will produce a harvest in others' lives. Let me tell you the reason I'm saved tonight. Number one, because God. But I heard somebody else go to bragging on God for what he done for them. That's what worship is. You know what it done? It produced a harvest in my life. And it'll produce the harvest in somebody else's life. I want to ask you something tonight. She comes start playing softly. I want to ask you something tonight. How long has it been since you just worshiped him? How long has it been since you just magnified him? How long has it been? You know what we do? We get caught up in asking God and praying to God. Brother Kenny Kuykendall done a great book. It's a 40-day journey on prayers in the Bible. It's a wonderful book. I'm on day, today's the sixth, isn't it? I'm on day six. Me and Brother David Williams, we're doing it together as accountability partners. And at the end of it, he talks about a different prayer. And you read through your New Testament in 40 days also, but at the end of it, it has different things that you've learned from that you write down. And then it has, today I'm asking God for. Then also every day it has this. Today, I'm thanking God for. You know, so many times when we go seek the Lord, we go seek him and ask him instead of seeking him and praising him. You know, I've several times over the last week, I asked God to help Miss Bethany. And let everything go all right in the birth of that baby. I've been praying about Miss Morgan as she's getting closer. Miss Shay, Brother Matthew. But you know what? God convicted me. Because in the midst of my asking, Brother Aaron, I didn't say thank you for letting her be with child. Thank you for this far giving her a healthy pregnancy. Somebody help the preacher tonight. A lot of times in our prayer lives, We get busy asking God for everything. I'm as guilty as anybody. When we ought to take time to praise God. When we ought to take time to praise God. Simple things. Simple things. I praise God. Now you're going to laugh. I praise God the other day that I smelt chicken litter. You said that ain't nothing to praise God for. When you hadn't smelt anything since October, you'd be glad when you smell chicken litter. Amen. Back when I had COVID, man, I lost my taste. It's still not right today. Some days I can taste, some days I can't much. But back during it, there was one thing that I could taste, or two things that I could taste the whole time. It was the breaded chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A and Chick-fil-A waffle fries. I remember it was a Saturday, and I had been sicker than a buzzard, man. I don't know how sick a buzzard gets, but I'd been sick as sicker than a buzzard eating a dead mule for 2 days. I was sick, man. I was laying in the bed and couldn't hardly get out of the bed. Brother Matt said, "We're going to bring some food by." Miss Leslie told him to bring Chick-fil-A. I reckon she may have asked me. I don't remember if she did, but they brought some Chick-fil-A by. Miss Leslie brought it up into the room. She had a big mask on and brought it up into the room to me and Olivia. And she had quarantined us. I mean, we was getting treated like the gray-headed stepchild, not even a red-headed stepchild, the gray-headed one. I mean, we was getting treated bad. I'm just picking. But we really was. But anyway, she brought it up. And me and Olivia sit down in there, Brother Brian. And I told Olivia, I said, "I don't feel like eating. I don't even want to eat." I mean, why do you eat when you can't taste it? I mean, you know, the good thing about eating a filet mignon is tasting it. Somebody say amen. I remember I prayed, or I think Olivia prayed. I think I told her Mama may have prayed before she left. I don't know, man. I got that chicken nugget, Brother Brian, and I put it in my mouth. And boy, when I took the first chomp of it, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? A chomp is one of these. I took the first chomp of that chicken nugget, and I looked at Olivia, and I said, "I can taste it. It actually tastes like something." Man, I'm telling you, I was tickled, made my 30 minutes, and then I was back in the bed. We really, you know what? One preacher said it like this. Our health is kind of like water. We don't miss it until it's gone. We don't miss it until it's gone. And you know what? That day, it gave me a new appreciation for taste. And still today, I'm more appreciative. There's not hardly a week, and a lot of times not even a day that goes by, that I don't say, "Thank you, Jesus, that I tasted this almond joy." Somebody say, "Praise God for almond joys. Thank you, Lord, that I tasted this Sprite. I kicked the Red Bull bug, but the other day I decided I was going to try one again. It was the nastiest. I still don't have a taste for it again. I got a road trip to take tonight after church, and it'll be late coming back up the road getting in. And I'll probably try to swallow one down just to make it home." Do you say, "Preach, what do you say?" A lot of times we don't thank Him for the simple things of life. For the simple things. Hearing, smelling, tasting, seeing, watching our kids play. Sitting down. Now y'all gonna think this is comical, but I thank the Lord for it. Me and Olivia and Victoria just sat down out there in the grass the other night and watched the goats run around and kick and play and back, hit each other. And I just laughed and we talked. And I just thanked the Lord that I could sit there and watch that with my girls. He's seeking somebody to worship Him tonight. He's seeking somebody just to say, "Thank you, Lord. Here's what I want to ask you tonight in closing. Here's what I ask you. How long has it been since you piled up in an altar and didn't ask God for nothing? You say, but preacher, I've got this need and I've got that need. I understand that. I've got some needs in my life. I've got some needs that I'd love to see God meet. But you know what? Every once in a while, Brother Matthew, we just need to pile up in an altar. Just say thank you. Thank you for the home that I live in. Thank you for the vehicle that I drive. Thank you for the people of the church that tithes, that paid for the vehicle that I drive. I can say that. I know y'all can't, but I can. And I do. I do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the food on my table. Thank you that my girls are healthy tonight. Thank you that my wife's not laying in a hospital. Boy, I thought about Brother Michael a lot, and I know I mentioned him this morning. I mentioned him in prayer room, but man, Brother Michael's not much older than I am, and just had open heart surgery and laying down there in all that pain. And Miss Wendy said today she'd been able to go in and out some. And you know, I sure am thankful, Brother Aaron, that I'm not sitting in the waiting room at the hospital, just able to go in and see my wife a few minutes each time. Thankful that I'm able to go home with her tonight, and go to bed and wake up together. And boy, God's just really good to us. It's really good to us. Just really, you say, preacher, but boy, the past year's been hard. 2020 was one of the greatest years we ever had at our church. Has some come and some gone, sure. But you know what? I've just started praying in recent days, God, send us the people that you want us to have. And God, if there's anybody that's going to hinder the church and hinder the work of the church, then God, you just move them on as you see fit. And when you pray that prayer, you just trust God with the rest of it. I don't mean that ugly. I'm just being honest with you. If God wants us to build an auditorium, then you know what? I want to build an auditorium. But if God just wants us to stay right here in this little auditorium with the people that we've got and just continue to praise Him and magnify Him and send missionaries across the world and witness to our community and have a little lighthouse over here on the side of the hill in Low Gap or Bottom or Bueller or Mount Airy, North Carolina, then you know what? I just want to sit here in this little building and we'll give all the money to the missionaries and let them go across the city. I just want what He wants, and I'm just going to praise Him for what He does.